Beloved brothers and sisters, just a brief word in conclusion at marvelous conference. There's been a generous outpouring of the Lord to all of the numerous speakers who have addressed us. We've been greatly stirred by our famous and lovable Tabernacle Choir as they have used their rich talents to bless us with heavenly symphonies. And to the other groups of singers, we're deeply grateful. They have enriched our services and made them pleasing to us and to the Lord. To all others who have contributed, we are deeply grateful. We have made some changes in the general authorities, and we hope that all of our people are sympathetic and approve in their hearts. The sermons from the brethren have developed almost every theme and subject, and they have been rich and full of meat. We have been greatly pleased with all of their contributions. May we mention a few. President Tanner has relived for us the area conferences of Europe. Similar ones we have carried to the Orient and South America and Mexico and to the South Seas. President Romney has given us the word of the Lord on honesty and integrity and companion themes. In between the choir's presentations, we've heard excerpts from the sermons of our brother, beloved brother Paul. We were given a picture of the temptations of Jesus and have seen with the eyes of an apostle the families that are forever. We have partly relived the bicentennial through the eyes of one of the brethren and have had the way of life pointed out to us. Delightful experiences from life have been used by the brethren to point the way and direct our footsteps, and great lessons have been taught by parable, quote, and exhortation. The standards of the church have been emphasized over and over, and warm appeal from the brethren for us to live God's commandments. We've been taught as fathers and mothers and bishops how to prepare missionaries to attain excellence. One of our favorite songs has these words from the Master. He marked the path and led the way, and every point defines to life and light and endless day where God's full presence shines. Why we should be so concerned about a flickering candle when there is an unextinguishable light at hand for the earning. At least the numerous testimonies of the brethren of the ages are positive and uniform and uplifting and faith-building and hope-building, and they encourage worthiness. These lines I like. Canst thou take the barren soil and with all thy pain and toil make lilies grow? Have faith in God, he can. Canst thou paint the clouds above and all sunset colors weave into the sky? Thou canst not, O powerless man. Have faith in God, he can. Canst thou still the troubled heart and make all care and trials depart from out our soul? Thou canst not, thou helpless man. Have faith in God, he can. And we wonder why we fail with all of the exhortation and explanations given us by the numerous brethren who have pled with us. We can understand why the Savior must have been disappointed, and why he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. And then he said again, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And I hope that theme will follow us to our homes and to our future lives. Again, as we close this great conference, let us implore the hearer of these messages to do the things which the Lord says and which have been so clearly outlined during this conference. Recently, a prominent doctor, knowing of my surgery and cancer treatments, exhibited a little surprise at my assuming this great responsibility of presidency. He was not a member of the church and evidently had never known the pull and the pressure one feels who has a positive assurance that the Lord is not playing games, but has a serious program for man and for his glory. The Lord knows what he is doing and that all his moves are appropriate and right. And I was surprised also that any man would wonder and question the work of the Lord. We who have the positive assurance and testimony of the divinity of this work do not question the ways of or determinations of the Lord. I know without question that God lives, and have a feeling of sorrow for those people living in the world in the gray area of doubt who do not have such an assurance. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of our Heavenly Father, and that he assisted in the creation of man and all that serves man, including the earth and all that is in the world. And he was the redeemer of mankind and the savior of this world and the author of the plan of salvation for all men and the exalted of all who live the laws he has given. He it was who organized this vehicle, this true church, and called it after his name, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and that in it are all the saving graces. I know that there is contact of the Lord with his prophets, and that he reveals the truth today to his servants as he did in the days of Adam and Abraham and Moses and Peter and Joseph and the numerous others throughout time. God's messages of light and truth are as surely given to man today as in any other dispensation. Since Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, the Lord has been eager to reveal truth and right to his people. But there have been many times when man would not listen. And of course, where there is no ear, there is no voice. I know the gospel truths will save and exalt mankind if men will accept the truth and fully live up to their commitments and covenants. I know this is true, and I bear this testimony to you, my beloved brothers and sisters and friends in all the world. I urge all men to seriously accept and conform their lives totally to the precepts of the gospel. And I bear this witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.